We need your Spirit. So please pour him out upon us, we ask, in Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Maybe see you.
Where were you? Where were you on 9/11 when you heard the news? Now, some of you are Americans, some of you are not, but the news got to you. And I wonder, what did you think? How did you respond? I can remember it was in my living room in San Diego and looking at the television and seeing those towers on fire and not believing the reality. What did you think? What was your response? Really, it was the rape of a country. It was like a woman who is raped. It is like a country that was raped. Betrayal is a reality in life. Betrayal is a reality in life. Satan betrayed God. Don't have the details, but we know that from Scripture, that he rebelled against God. We know that Adam and Eve joined the rebellion, and it's not some funky Star Wars rebellion. It's the real one, a rebellion against God, a betrayal. In each history, if you're Chinese, you may think of the rape of Nanjing. If you are an American a little older, you might remember seeing tapes, at least, of Roosevelt. This is a day, the bombing of Pearl Harbor, that will live in infamy. Your country remembers what has happened, because there's betrayal in every single people, everyone, whether it's canonized, Peace Child, if you've ever read that, Richardson's story, whether it's canonized, that the height of being a man in that culture is to betray a friend, kill him, and eat him, and make him think that he's your friend. Betrayal is part of life. And let me be the first to give you the bad news. You will experience betrayal. Some of you already have. It may be on a more personal level. A husband or a wife that walked out. They said, "I will love you forever." It was short forever. And that betrayal is something that we live with. And I want to talk about a particular betrayal. If you claim to be a Christian, and I assume that all of you do, or you wouldn't be here. Now, you could be at seminary unconverted. I got to seminary unconverted and was converted in seminary. So you could sit here like a Judas and really not be converted. However, I'm assuming that you're God's child. And the particular betrayal I'm talking about is if you are a Christian, you will be betrayed. Why? Because you are united to Jesus Christ. And being united to Jesus Christ means you get both sides of the coin. And most of us do not like radical Pentecostals who are basically heretics who say, name it and claim it. However, most of us live like that. When God gives us blessings, but when God turns up the heat, we kind of go, you pick on Job, don't pick on me. So I want to read about that betrayal and the particular betrayal that you experience, and Christ experienced it. Turn, if you will, our text is found in John 13. You know the context, you know it well. The upper room. Jesus says, taking the last Passover and turning it into the Lord's Supper. And he's there with his 12 disciples, including Judas. And he's just embarrassed the daylights out of them. He's washed feet, and everybody's embarrassed. And Peter, who's always got the big mouth, the whole scene. He's gone through all of that. He gets done, and like everybody's kind of going, And Jesus says this, verse 21 of John 13. I'll be reading from the ESV. After saying these things, Jesus was troubled in his spirit, and he testified, solemnly or truly, truly, I swear to you, one of you will betray me. The disciples looked at one another, not knowing or being uncertain of whom he spoke. One of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, that's John, was reclining at the table close to Jesus, literally in his bosom. They're lying down at the table, leaning on arms. They're eating. He's right next to Jesus, practically on top of him. And so Simon motions to him, motions to John. What? Okay, so that the disciple leaning back against Jesus said, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, it is he to whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it. So when he dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. And after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered into him. Jesus said, what you are going to do, do quickly. Now, no one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought, because Judas had the money bag, Jesus was telling him, buy what we need for the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the morsel of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. And it was more than night physically. It certainly was the darkest time in human history, culminating in the cross. Here's Jesus, incarnate Son of God. Rolodex to Philippians 2. Have this mind in you who is in Christ Jesus, though he was God. You know that whole passage. Here is the creator of the universe who has come to minister and wash feet and go to the cross. He has just shown what servanthood is all about. Washing dirty feet that nobody would want to do. The menial task that the youngest or the servant would have to do. There it is. Though we don't agree with it, most of us, that's why you can see where some branches of Mennonites and all brethren, you know, do foot washing. Because there's no greater symbol of humility. He washes the feet of proud disciples. Not me! Not me! Peter, if I don't wash you, you don't have any. Okay, give me a bath. You don't need a bath, Peter. You know, you only need to be regenerated once. You know, you only need daily sanctification. Okay? That's what most of, be honest. Come on, be honest. Most of us would give him a backhand or a up upside head, right? Same Peter, right? After he denies Jesus three times, he's restored. Remember, read it, John. You know, and John's writing. He's still an apostle. He hasn't been kicked out. He's been restored. Three times you deny me. Three times I restore. You love me more than these guys? I really sort of like you. Okay, you know the whole thing. And then immediately gets done. Well, what about John? Peter! What's he say? Mind your own suffering, right? You're going to get your martyrdom. You got what you want. What business is it of yours if I want him to stay until I return? And he goes, he didn't say, don't you know your conditional clauses? Study your Greek, okay? You know, your Aramaic. I said, if I want, he didn't say he was going to. So John's scrambling to prove that Peter's an apostle and that, you know, he's not going to live forever, okay? The reality is, Christ is betrayed. Now think about that. And be honest, some of us have been really betrayed, stabbed in the back by others, and it's been wrong. And we sang Psalm 41b, right? My familiar friend who ate bread with me, who ate bread. I give you the bread, Judas. Here, I'm the bread of life. I've come down from heaven. Bethlehem, house of bread, I'm here to feed you. Eat my body, drink my blood. That's what this represents. He goes out at night because he betrays the only hope that Judas ever had. There is no hope apart from Jesus Christ. That's what you've come to learn. That's who you've come to preach. There is no hope. The perfect model of humble suffering, think about that. The only sinless one. This is the greatest crime. It's greater than 9/11. The cross is a greater crime on a human level. There's never been a sinless human being other than Jesus Christ. We don't count Adam. You know, that lasted for a while. And he gets betrayed. Now think about that. Don't you think that you should get through life without being betrayed? Think about it. Who are you? Who am I? I will tell you a quick story. There was a time I was working for a Christian organization, and somebody was trying to get me fired. For once in my life, I was right. It's very rare. Very rare. I actually was righteous. I was doing my job. I was trying to honor God, and the whole person was trying to get me fired. I confronted the person. I said, look, I'm not going to press this Matthew 18. It's between you and God. You've sinned. You've sinned this way. This is how the catechism says you've sinned. Okay, but it's between you and God. Eventually cost that person a job. But anyway, I'm sitting there one day feeling sorry for myself. And God convicted me. It wasn't audible. It wasn't a voice from heaven, because God probably doesn't talk like this. But Scipione, you hot dog. You absolute hot dog. You think that you should get through life without being betrayed when the innocent Son of God didn't get better treatment. Is that simple, friends? If you're united to Jesus Christ, Satan gave him his best blows. Psalm 41:9. Your familiar friend will be the one that will lift up the heel, the one that you went up to worship with, and then all of a sudden, he or she turns against you, stabs you in the back. This is